Hi, I'm Chase Bunker, but you're not here for me. You are here for my guest. He is a video game composer and the brains behind the wildly successful Video Games Live. You can see him at the Jacksonville Symphony for Video Games Live on September 19th. Tickets on sale now. He is Tommy Tallarico. Tommy, how are you?
Hey, pretty good. Thanks for having me, Chase.
Thanks a lot for coming on. For those who missed it on Jacksonville's Morning News, what is Video Games Live?
Yeah, so Video Games Live is a concert that I created about 23 years ago. It's all of the greatest video game music played by a full symphony and choir, but synchronized with video and, you know, big video screen and rock and roll lighting, stage show production. So I kind of like to describe it as having all the power and emotion of a symphony orchestra, but combined with the energy and excitement of a rock concert. So it's a real kind of full celebration of, you know, of the video game industry and the art and the music behind it. And, you know, when I first created the show, people thought I was absolutely nuts and insane. I created it with another video game composer, Jack Wall. We put it together initially and everybody thought we were nuts. Who would go see a video game music concert? You know, again, this is 23 years ago, right? And mm-hmm. It's like, look, people who go to the symphony don't play video games, and people who play video games don't go to the symphony. So no one's going to show up to your dumb thing. And, but you know, we believed in it so much. We put everything we had into it, all of our time, energy, resources, money, whatever. And, you know, we did our very first show ever at the Hollywood Bowl with the LA Philharmonic.
I mean, oh, wow.
We went straight to the top. You know, they're like, you're lucky if 500, you sell 500 tickets, and over 11,000 people showed up for that first show. And all of a sudden, we weren't so crazy. Jack left the show in about 2010. We started it in 2002. But as of last month, we did our 550th performance.
Oh, wow.
20 years, 42 countries. And it's just been a juggernaut ever since. We got a bunch of albums. We got 10 albums out. It's been a wild ride, and, you know, celebrating video game music all over the world is pretty cool. And if you think about it, you know, there might be a band that's like really popular in Germany, but no one in Brazil has ever heard of them. Or, oh my God, this band is all the rage in Malaysia, but no one in America has ever heard of them. You know, with video game music, everywhere we go around the world, people know and love, you know, it's a soundtrack of their generation, you know, I'm in my 50s. So I grew up on Van Halen, Aerosmith, Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin. That was soundtrack of my generation. But for people in their, you know, 30s and under, it was video games that really, you know, that's the soundtrack of them growing up. We get so many people who come up to me after a show with tears in their eyes. Oh my God. When you played Sonic the Hedgehog, it was like I was transported to my five-year-old kid playing that with my dad for the first time, you know? So it really is an emotional, energetic show. It's hard to kind of put into words sometimes.
Well, it was crazy. I saw you guys, and I want to say it was either 2014 or 2013. It was over in West Palm for my friend's bachelor party. It was an absolutely fantastic show. We absolutely loved it. And I thought one of the cooler things was, there was an elderly couple that was behind us, and right. I was immediately just caught off guard because I'm like, I have a feeling you're not here for like the Skyrim music. Like, it was one of those where it's just like, if you just like symphony, if you like symphonic music, you'll definitely like this. If you like video game music, you'll definitely like this. And so it was just like this weird mesh of like, I know you've never played any of these, but you're just here to enjoy symphony. And if I remember correctly, they enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? So there's two sides of this where, you know, I created the show because, you know, I wanted to prove to the world how culturally significant and artistic video games have become. But also, I wanted to help usher in a whole new generation of young people to appreciate the arts and to appreciate symphonic music. I mean, if you think about, you know, that's by no means even a new concept. If you think about, Walt Disney, who's one of my personal heroes, right? Over 70 years ago, he did Fantasia, and Fantasia was basically taking the music of Mussorgsky and Beethoven and all the greats and putting animations to it, putting cartoons to it. And he would, on record and in interviews, would say, "I want young people to appreciate this music." So it's like, here we are 70 years later, kind of carrying on his concept, but with a new form of media. But I'll tell you an interesting story, because most of the letters and emails and social media messages we get are from non-gamers. And I really wanted, when I created the show, I wanted to create it so that if you know nothing at all about video games, you can go there and just be blown away, right? You don't have to know the games in order to follow along, because the music, the visuals, the storylines, the characters are so, they draw you in and they're so emotional. And we want to make sure, that's why video, playing the video and synchronization is so important, because it shows the power of the music. But the I'll share a quick story with you. I was playing with the Pittsburgh Symphony. Now, the Pittsburgh Symphony is one of the top symphonies in the United States. They've been around since the 1800s. In fact, I remember when you go into the dressing room. I was in my dressing room, and they have a picture of Richard Strauss conducting the Pittsburgh Symphony in the late 1800s. And so it's very impressive, and they're one of the top in the U.S., if not the world. And this woman comes up to me after rehearsal, and she had tears in her eyes, and she was in the woodwind section. I forget the exact instrument, oboe or flute or something. And she comes up to me and she says, "Tommy, thank you so much for creating this show." I said, "Are you kidding me? Thank you for performing it. You guys are gracing us. You're elevating us, not the other way around." And she goes, "No, you don't understand." She goes, "I have a 17-year-old son. I've been in this symphony for 20 years. I'm a single mom, and I've been trying to get my son to come and see a show, to see what I do, for the last, 10 years, 15 years of his life, and he's never had any interest." And she starts, literally a tear starts coming down her cheek, and she goes, "Until tonight." She goes, "Not only is he here to see me perform for the first time, but all he's been doing is bragging to all his friends in school the last 4 months about how his mom is going to be playing Halo on stage. And he even asked me for if I could get him a bunch of tickets for his friends, because he's so proud of his mom tonight." And I was like, wow. I mean, I'm getting goosebumps now just retelling the story, but it's like, whew, that's kind of cool, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. Speaking of performing with symphonies, one of the things that you do is it's you're traveling to all these cities and you're playing with
Right.
like the city symphonies.
Yes.
How difficult is it to remain in sync with everyone, considering it's all different people? It's not like you're performing with a band and that band's traveling with you.
Yeah, that's a great question. So the way we created it is that we send the sheet music, and everything is on a click track. Meaning, it's one of the first things when I create a new segment. Once I do the arrangement, I then create a click track, which is basically the tempo of the song. If anyone's ever taken piano lessons before or guitar lessons, and you have that metronome that goes back and forth. Right. Well, basically, that's what we create for all these pieces. And all of the people in the symphony have a little over-the-ear headphone that's kind of hidden. And so they're getting the click track in their ear. So we send the files ahead of time. Now, the reality is that professional symphonic musicians, when you put sheet music in front of them, they read sheet music like me and you read books, right? So they just need to go through it one time, and it's like, okay, we got it. So between that and the click track, so we will get there, like for the show this Friday. I'm flying there tomorrow night. We start setting up early Friday morning. We start setting up the stage at like 9 in the morning. We'll be done by noon. We take an hour break. And then we start rehearsal with the choir. We do an hour offstage rehearsal with the choir by themselves. And then everybody goes on stage. The choir then comes on stage, and we do like a 2.5 hour rehearsal with the orchestra, and that's it. That's it. 1, 2.5 rehearsal to go through. But again, like I said, they're so professional. And I gotta say, the Jacksonville Symphony, we've played down there like 3 or 4 times now. And I think it was our fourth time. And I mean, they're just amazing musicians. I mean, they just get it, and you know, we have fun with it too. You know, one of the first speeches I give to the orchestra is, "Okay, we don't take ourselves too seriously, so neither should you." You know, I want to see a lot of smiles, have fun with it. You know, a lot of the people in the audience will be seeing a symphony for the very first time. So, you know, it's important that they have fun and it's not a stuffy, because I think a lot of young people, when they think, oh, it's a symphony, that's not for me. That's a bunch of old people in tuxedos and everybody's got to be quiet, right? So one of the first things I do when I get on stage to the audience, I say to them, look, just because we're here with this talented symphony doesn't mean that everybody's got to be quiet. If there's something you see on screen or hear, feel free to yell, cheer, holler, whenever you feel like. And they're like, wow, okay, that gives them, you know, it gives them the permission to have fun now and to make it more like a rock concert, as opposed, because a lot of people in the audience don't know what to do. They want to be respectful, but they're like, I think we're supposed to be quiet, you know? You know, we're like, no, let's do it. And you know, musicians in the orchestra, they're just like any other musician. When they hear that crowd going on, it gets you going. You can feel that energy, you feed off that excitement, you play better, it's a better show. You know, it's kind of crazy where everybody's got to be quiet. I don't know where that came from, but I'm not a fan.
Yes, so don't bring your powdered wigs this time. Leave your powdered wigs at
No,
home.
yeah.
It's
Well, unless you're dressing up as like, you know, somebody from a video game. Maybe.
Maybe. Okay. I'm trying to think of any video game character that's had a powdered wig, and I just can't think of one
Well,
right now.
no, I'm trying to think. Yeah,
Yeah, I got nothing.
we'll have to get back to you on that one. Yeah, I don't
Obviously,
know.
you play a bunch. I don't want to spoil any of the set lists from when I saw you, but you play a lot of iconic music from a lot of,
Yeah.
iconic games. Is there any game that was so obscure, like, I really love the music for this, I want to play this, nobody knows this game, and nobody's ever heard of this?
No, I don't care. If it's great music, I put it in the show. You know, our show isn't a list of what's the biggest selling games. Oh, let's do the music from Fortnite and Call of Duty and Minecraft. In fact, we don't do any of those. No, the first and foremost thing, it's got to be great music. So some of the pieces, and by the way, I change the set list every year. So the set list, hopefully you're coming on Friday. The set list you'll see on Friday is going to probably be 60 to 70% different from when you saw the show, you know, from before. So, you know, we keep some of the classics, you know, the Halos, Metal Gear Solid, Kingdom Hearts. Those are always, you know, fan. That's like Led Zeppelin not playing Stairway to Heaven, you know. So you gotta put some of the fan favorites in, but a lot of the, like some of the more, I don't want to call them obscure, but some of the ones that maybe people wouldn't expect are games like Undertale, Okami, Shadow of the Colossus. You know, like those were not, you know, super big triple A blockbuster, blah blah blah. I mean, they're all popular games, but no, we'll put in we've put in music from games that no one's ever heard of. And that's kind of the fun part, is that, you know, oh wow, they discover a new game, they discover a new thing. Oh wow, when I get home, I'm going to download this game. That was so awesome. One of my favorite games is a game called Beyond Good and Evil.
Yes.
You remember that
Oh,
game?
I love that game. I've been anticipating a
Epic.
sequel for years. Soaksong
I
people are like,
know.
oh, I've been wanting a sequel for 7 years. Bro, I've been waiting for over 15, okay?
I know, and I know the guy who created the game, and I talk to him every year. I'll check in. Hey, how's it going? They're still working on it. They're still working on it. Jade and Paige. Yeah. In fact, it was funny. I just went back on my PlayStation 5. You can download. They did an HD version of that game. of Beyond Good and Evil, and I just went through and replayed the whole thing. It actually looks really good on the PlayStation 5 because some of these games we go back and we remember them a lot differently. I remember, like, I used to play GoldenEye all the time, religiously. Oh my God, it was one of the greatest video games of all time. And then about, and me and my friends would play it constantly. And then, like, about, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I'm like, me and my friends, like, let's all get together and play GoldenEye. Let's have a GoldenEye night, like 20 years later. Oh my God, it would be so great. We get together, we plug the thing in, we put it up on the TV, and we're like, is there something wrong with the cable? Why does this game look crappy? It didn't look like this before. What's going on? Or you play Metal Gear Solid 1 on the on the original PlayStation. You're like, why? Wait a second, this can't be the same game. I remembered this to be so beautiful. Because at the time, it was cutting edge graphics. Now it's like blocky.
Oh, I'm so afraid to play anything like new now. I play old games now just because I want to remember, like, with nostalgia and rose-colored glasses, but also the control schemes just haven't, aged well. Like GoldenEye, for example. Luckily, I played Banjo-Kazooie and I played Banjo-Tooie, and they both aged well. But like, I saw the remaster for Beyond Good and Evil, and it's like, oh, do I want to have
You
my?
should.
Okay, it is
You
good.
should.
Okay,
Yeah, that one's a good one. You won't be disappointed, and it looks great. That looks better than you remember it.
good.
That was so far ahead of the time. And when I did the HD, there's no like tearing and pixelation. It looks The cinematics are beautiful, the storyline's great, the music's great, the controls still work really good. So
Good.
yeah, it's pretty good. The ones that we can appreciate, though, are the stuff from the 70s and 80s, the pixelated stuff. Those will always hold, right? Space Invaders, Pac-Man, those will always hold. They can look like that, and they're still awesome looking like that. Frogger, are you kidding me?
I think what's great is now, like, when you see the pixelated, like, up to F the SNES era, the Super Nintendo, Sega era, what's great now is once they get remastered, they have a save button. And now we don't have to, play it all in one sitting. Your console is like 120 degrees. You're burning a hole in your entertainment system. It's not
Or you
glowing.
keep it on pause because there's no save, so you just paused it overnight, and when you wake up the next morning, so you didn't. I mean, and some of those games, I mean, Ghosts and Goblins, are
Oh
you kidding me?
gosh.
The most impossible, like, once you got into the castle and to try to make your way up, are you kidding me? It's impossible. Give me a save. I play it on MAME, so I could, you get the save button. So that's the only way to finish that game.
The original Dark Souls game, Ghosts
Oh,
and Goblins.
brutal.
For those who don't know, Dark Souls is an incredibly difficult game, and it's known for its difficulty as well.
Battletoads.
Battletoads, oh my gosh. There was a game,
Impossible.
or talking about obscure games, there was a game called Plock, which if I describe it, it's just gonna sound like I just did a hit of acid. And so it's pretty much, he was the original Rayman. You throw your arms to hit enemies. It's, again, not helping
Okay.
my case here, but that was
No, no,
another
no.
one of those where you had to
I'll
play
tell
it in
you
one
the
sitting.
weirdest. I'll tell you the weirdest thing in the world that you just mentioned. Plock. The last show we did, we did a show on Saturday, and sold out show, North Carolina Symphony in Raleigh, North Carolina. And after the show, I do a meet and greet in the lobby, and I tell people from the stage, hey, look, come by, let me know what you thought of the show. What was your favorite part? But also, I want to take your suggestions on what you'd like to see in the show when we come back. And for the first time in over 20 years of touring, 42 countries, 550, now 551 shows, somebody comes up to me and they said, I want you to play the music from Plock. I swear to God, I swear to God. And I'm like, what? And I wrote it down, and you're now the second person who's mentioned the game Plock to me within 5 days. It's very strange.
Plock has a special place in my heart. This is completely off track, and I don't care. This was, I remember I was supposed to go, I'm going to date myself here. We went to a Farmore to rent originally Super Metroid, and they didn't have it. And the guy was like, here, why don't you try this instead? And so I played it, loved it. My first hamster, named him Plock. Like that, it has a special place in my heart. Every once in a while, like that intro song will just pop up in my head randomly. Like that's how much I love that game. And I want to shake that other person's hand because I feel like there's are dozens of us.
Dozens of people. I tell you what, when I get home this weekend, back to California, I'm gonna get on my MAME cabinet and I'm gonna bring up Plock just for you guys.
I have a feeling
I've never played it.
I have a feeling I'm going to get a text or an email next week that just goes, "How did you like this crappy game?" You can see him at the Jacksonville Symphony on September 19th. Tickets on sale now for Video Games Live. We've been reviewing games. You used to review games on Electric Playground, also reviews on the Run, Judgment Day with your co-host Victor Lucas. Is there a game that you look back now and go, I don't know why I gave it that score. It should have been higher or it should have been lower.
Yeah, about half of them. I mean, you know, it was funny. Me and Victor and I would play it up a little bit. You know, we never had a script. We didn't have any kind of script. We'd never talk about the games before the camera was on because we didn't want to, like, you know, waste that, you know, kind of energy or those looks we would give each other. And you know, we played it up a little bit for the camera. You know, I was a little harsher on stuff, knowing that Vic liked it a little more. you know, so and it made for great entertainment, great TV. But no, that's a good question. I mean, all of the games that I gave very high scores to, like, you know, Prince of Persia and you know, the Grand Theft Autos and some of those, Beyond Good and Evil was one. All the games I gave great scores to, I would stand by all of those. And you know, the gaming community is tough, man. There's some tough critics. You know, I remember I gave Metroid Prime, which is a game I actually worked on. I gave it like a 7.5, I think. And boy, the hate flowed. How dare you give it a 7.5? It's at least a 9, you know.
I'm sure I contributed to part of that as well.
Oh, that was you. Okay, that was you. Okay.
I was at least 3 of those people.
But no, that's a great, God, I'd have to go back and think of it. But I do know that, again, I would be a little harsh, you know, for entertainment's sake, for sure. But no, you know, overall, and actually, you know what? There was a couple of games that I really enjoyed at the time, too. Oh, man, I can't think of any about that. I mean, there's that, what was that volleyball game, that beach volleyball?
Beach Strikers?
No, the one with the
Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball.
That's the one.
Don't ask me why I know that.
I think I was given that in the high 9s or whatever. But I mean, I had so much fun with it at the time. But looking back now, that probably wouldn't get as much of a high score as it did back then.
You can see him again at the Jacksonville Symphony for Video Games Live September 19th. Tickets on sale now. I know we're running out of time, so I want to get to my 10 questions that are inspired by the late, great James Lipton. Are you ready?
Oh, love that show.
All right, here we go. What is the most played song on your playlist?
Beethoven's Ninth, Ode to Joy.
Guilty pleasure band.
Pink. Katy Perry.
Ooh. Favorite song you like to belt it out to, no matter how good or how bad you sound?
Ooh. pick one. Trying to imitate Steven Tyler in any song.
Fair. If you can eat one meal for a week, what is it?
My own homemade pasta from my grandmother and great-grandmother's recipe.
Drink of choice.
Lemonade.
Favorite superhero.
Spider-Man.
To help settle a bet, do you think Mega Man is a superhero?
No.
How dare you, Tommy? I thought we were friends.
I knew you were going to say that.
How dare you?
I know.
Favorite internet video?
That one with the dog that he's talking and he goes, you know, the maple kind, where they pretend the dog is talking. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think I vaguely do.
It's like a German Shepherd, and the owner's talking to the dog, and the dog has a voice, and I just cry laughing every time I see it. Me and my brother still pass it around.
What are you watching right now on your streaming services?
I never finished Penguin, so I've been going back. Like I watched the first two episodes, I never finished it, so I've been watching Penguin. But then I also went back from episode one, season one, and restarted watching Chuck again. I love Chuck.
I binged Chuck just to get ready for Shazam for some reason.
Right.
And it's so good. It's like surprisingly wholesome too.
And Sarah, I mean, I was so in love with that character, mm-hmm. Sarah. She's so incredible.
And finally, Tommy Tallarico, give me your spiciest hot take. It could be about anything in life.
Okay, here's a spicy hot take. I'm not as awful a person as the internet says I am. How about that?
I don't know if that's a hot take. This is you defending yourself. I'm not a terrible human being. Like that, I don't think that's a... Like, could you imagine like a politician come up to this podium? Yeah. I am not a terrible person.
I saw some of that in the debates last year.
I mean, that's fair. You can see him at the Jacksonville Symphony for Video Games live on September 19th. Tickets on sale now. Tommy Tallarico, thanks a lot for coming on.
Awesome. Really appreciate it, Chase. Thank you.